Blog Talk Radio. man, we are going back to old school right there. What a wonderful thing. And I just want to welcome everybody to the show. God bless you guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. This is Wardell Potts Jr. for Solar Records Radio, and we are so blessed to have you. We hope you are good and well, and God has kept you, and you are blessed right where you are. And listen, today, I mean, the song you just heard was from Change and The Very Best in You. And the author of that song is going to be on the show with us, and my brother by the name of Herb Smith. And so we're going to have a good time chopping it up with him. Also, we have a brother from another mother, Mr. Larry Moore, is going to be hanging out with us today, too, from Philly. All this is like my Philly connection, guys. And so I'm so excited to be able to bring these brothers on and just chop it up and stuff. And Larry's an amazing bass player, and Herb plays everything. Unfortunately, he's embarrassing us, but it is what it is, so it's all good. But anyway, so we're going to have a good time. I want to give a shout out to our friends overseas. What's happening, everybody over in the UK and South Africa, Amsterdam. What's happening, Amsterdam? And to our friends in Nigeria, Lagos, Nigeria. To our friends, oh, wow. Man, I can't even see what that is. Okay, anyway, we have friends all around the world. Brazil. Much love to Brazil, to our friends down in Brazil. Thank y'all all for tuning in. We appreciate you and love you. And please tell a friend about Solar Records Radio, as we are basically a new company. We've been around for, this is, you know, the third season right now. So we're really, really fortunate and blessed that we, you know, we're independent contractors, and we keep on doing what we do just to be a blessing to you guys. And you guys are absolutely a blessing to us. So thank you for tuning in and hanging out with us today. So, hey, give a shout out to my buddy Greg. Thanks, Greg, for taking care of all the flyers and stuff and just making us look good. We appreciate you very, very much. Now it is time to get to my guest here on the line. Herb, are you there? Mr. Herb Smith, are you there?
Yes, I am, Wardell. How are you doing today, buddy?
I am good. I am good. And, man, just so glad to have you on, man. And I know we got Larry Moore around there, too. Larry, are you there?
Yeah, Larry. I'm here. You told me to be quiet, so I'm here.
I think
I was trying to be quiet.
Oh, God. He's so cool. Anyway, so this is you know, Larry and I go back like childhood friends. And then, Herb, tell the story, Herb. How did you and Larry meet and stuff? Because that was right around the time when I left, right before I left, you know, and you came into the Hollywood Palace. And,
yeah, Hollywood Palace.
What made you go into the Hollywood Palace anyway?
Well, back then, the Hollywood Palace was a kind of a hangout. It was, it's not there anymore. Somebody else owns that building now, but they featured live local acts, you know. And so you would just go down. They'd have a kind of a jam session, maybe on a Thursday. And a lot of cats. It would be a place for cats would come. And I was just going wandering in there, and you guys were playing. And I heard Larry on bass, and I was playing with Dexter Wanzel's band at that time. And we needed a bass player. I was so fortunate Dexter, for some reason, let me choose the bass player. So I heard Larry pull them aside. Yo, man, great, man. And just started kicking it with him. And we became friends, you know. So we'd hang out together, and he'd be with Dexter. Dexter Wanzel, if anybody doesn't know, is an amazing producer. I had a whole career this morning. He did a lot of records for Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff, the Philly International. And producer over there, and had his own albums. He goes over to UK now occasionally and does gigs over there. He's really doing well with that. And I think some other places in Europe too. But I was in his band as a guitar player, and I was getting songs, and he was listening to some of my songs, and I got Larry to be able to play on bass on some of the songs. Larry can tell you what songs he played on. I forgot. But this is around 1979. That was a great ride, you know. That's what led to me playing with Patti LaBelle for 20 years. Playing with Dexter. And, you know, that's
a long time. 20 years with Patti LaBelle, with one artist. Wow, you guys, You didn't even have to rehearse after a while. Like, okay.
Well, just... we always rehearsed with Patty, but it was a great gig. That ride was amazing. I look back at my career, and I'm, like, so grateful, and it's really kind of an amazement. It still amazes me. I'm still doing my thing now. I'm kind of a guy in restaurants now, and I have these backing tracks I make here in my studio. They're really good, and we have several places we play. I'm booked all year, and it's crazy. So it's this side of it, going out singing and playing guitar. I've won a couple, actually three wonderful female vocalists I work with, Kim Payton and Tanya Lynette. Then I have Masha Chi. She's from Ukraine, so she does gigs here in Philly. She's married, and she lives in Philly area. So it's been really a blessing, man. I can't speak. It's just, I'm out of words. There's no words. I'm amazed and very grateful.
All right, so listen, I want to back up a little bit now. Can you just explain to us how you became the musician that you became, and how did you, up until you ended up with Philly International, how did that happen for you? Was somebody in your family a musician or something?
My dad played piano. He sang. He played in churches. And I think that kind of stopped for him. I just had this gift. I had an ear, and I picked up, because I'm a singer, too, so I would mimic the singers before I played guitar, like on TV, like Andy Williams and all those guys, and, you know, the regular TV shows, and I picked up the guitar around age 9, 10, that's 1963, 1964, and my mom had me in this school in upstate New York, private school. I was the only black kid up there, so I was getting exposure to the British scene that was coming over, the Beatles. I'm a big Beatle fan, right? And I would listen to radio, and I had my guitar. She got me some guitar lessons, and I could cop from listening to radio and figure out what was happening. And it just evolved. I got kicked out of the school at the right time. I'm so glad I did. I got kicked out in 1966. There was a girl named Kathy who I don't fight, but I got in a fight with her. So they put me out. So I got sent back to Southwest Philly at the right time. And I was 12, and this is the crazy thing looking back at this. My first time going on the road, I was 13. That's 1967. And we went to this place in Maryland. We were backing this guy named Lucky Terrell. We had a three-piece rhythm section. I was a guitar player. And we went to this place called Henry's Beach, Maryland. This is 1967 in the height of the civil rights thing. And when we got down there about 4:30, in the morning, something like that, on country road, we were riding, and I had to ask my older friends, did this really happen? It was fire at the end of the road. We got close to it. It was a burning cross. It was a Ku Klux Klan rally. Well, they didn't see us, luckily, and we got out of there and went back to the Henry's Beach.
Whoa.
And Henry's Beach,
Lord. Lord.
If anybody can look up Henry's Beach, you'll find out that it was a place that real prominent black Afro-American performers played in the 40s and 50s or something. And so we were doing this gig, and it was a beach. I didn't know that my friends went on a boat. They were fishing, and they looked back and saw me walking on the beach and said, Herbie, go back. Well, huh? Go back. And they tell us about you walking onto the white beach. I mean, that really blows my mind. And then from there, it just escalated, and I got my first professional offer to go on the road when I was 15 with this group called The Intrigues. They had a hit record called In a Moment. And I declined on that because I wanted to stay in high school, right? And it all came back again in 1973. I went on an audition. The Philly Sound was going on, Disco Sound and all that. The group First Choice had this record out, Unnecessarily Dangerous. I got that gig at 19, right out of high school. I graduated a year late, by the way. All I wanted to do was play guitar. Anyway, so...
Right.
Right out of high school playing the Apollo, and it's just mushroomed. It was crazy. And then I got Dexter's gig in the fall of 1976. And he was a producer for Kenny Gamble, and he had his own albums out, and it's just amazing. And that led to me playing with Patty from 1980 to especially 2002.
Wow.
And we all got a new boyfriend, and he fired all the cats for 20-year tenure, which was really amazing. Yeah, that's what went down. And
oh, wow.
But I love her. I have no animosity towards Pat, you know. Mm-hmm. And her new band is wonderful. I hope I get to see them soon because, you know, there's a love there. So I have no animosity. If you're fired from that situation, as you know, as being a musician, you have to deal with your real life. My real life, I drove school bus. I was able to develop my mom's house as a rental property from the gigs I did with Patty. I've been successfully running that for 15, 16 years. I have a tenant there. I was just over there today doing things. And we bought a house, me and my ex-wife, but we still live together, in Upper Darby that we both own. And our daughter that's born from this relationship is going to be a lawyer in May of next year.
And, wow.
Beautiful, man. Life is just beautiful, man.
Yeah, excellent. So Larry, you there? I know I told you to be quiet, but don't be quiet anymore.
Don't be that quiet, Larry.
Okay, I'm back. I was being quiet. All right.
Okay.
I'm back.
So Larry, Larry and I, we were in a group called the Collisions, right? But before they changed the name to the Collisions, we were the Intrigues. Did you know that, Herb?
I did not know that, really.
Yeah.
You guys explained
with
that.
Al.
Yeah.
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 Wow. I know that.
Yes. And then something happened with Al, and they just moved on and changed the name to the Collisions and stuff. And
so
just having that gig as, you know, for, like I said, really the first R&B band that I ever had a chance to play with was that
right.
You know, like a real group. And Larry didn't have on pink pants, but all of us did. I don't know how he got out of that.
All of them
pink.
Did.
The whole as a matter
I told
of fact,
you I didn't have the money for it.
The whole outfit was the whole outfit, top to bottom.
Yeah, the whole outfit.
It was a jumpsuit. They were jumpsuits. And the girls loved us. They loved us in those outfits. Huh?
Yeah. I wish you had pictures.
See, I'm thinking he just realized.
Oh, I'm glad we don't. But I'm gonna check with Larry's sister, because you know, he has a bunch of sisters and they were taking pictures, man. So I gotta find out. I might be able to blackmail Larry a little bit. But anyway, and so in this process, this probably was like around 78. And then right around 79 is when I left. So all of 78, because we were doing gigs all over the place, but all of 78, I left, and Larry hooked up with Herb. And tell us what happened. First of all, Herb, he came to steal our bass player. I just want everybody to know he came to steal our bass player.
He
was successful. Not initially, because Larry, because we were so good, were so tight, Larry couldn't leave right away. He's like, but it's hard to leave these guys.
And I wanted one of those pink suits. I wanted
he
one.
Wanted,
I couldn't make enough money.
I mean, those things we had, they were pink jumpsuits. They were tight, and they were bell bottoms. It was like, whoa.
Wow. Y'all got to be pictures.
Oh, man.
Hold on, yeah.
And the girls would come there and lose their minds when the guys got on the stage and start doing their thing. It was everybody had big afros. It was crazy. The place was always jammed. It was always jammed. Yeah, and it was a beautiful situation there. But Larry, anyway, Larry. So Herb and Larry hooked up. As Herb was stealing Larry. And so then Larry went and ended up saying he gave in and went and played with Dexter Wanzel. Now, Larry, how was that experience, you know, going from, you know, playing with us and then you went to play with, you know, like the professionals now? I mean, how did that feel to you? Was it like, oh, man, now I'm going to another level? Because that's how it was for me to go to the Whispers.
Really? Really,
yeah,
it was. I was talking about that not long ago, really. I was telling my son about it. I told him, you know, like that transition was like, I said, it was surreal. It wasn't, you know, I couldn't get it together, really. Whether Herb knew it or not, I was kind of intimidated by that.
Really?
I didn't know that. I was like, because these are the real deal. You know, these guys are
right.
The real deal. Not that Wardell wasn't, because, you know, they were, like Wardell said, we was getting it in. It's just that, you know, Irvin was kind of under the limelight. You know, they were kind of
Right.
They playing on everybody's stuff. And, you know, so it was like a whole, it was a whole nother level. So it was, you know, I had to kind of keep my composure because I would have been like starstruck screaming over them. You know, I never knew you were starstruck. Hold. I just said I kind of, you know what I said. I wanted to get the money up to get that thing sued. I was still selling the thing sued. At any cost, no, I was going to get one. I never got one. I'm kind of a great player.
You had you knew what to do. You knew what to do. You were a great bass player. You still are a great bass player. But your talent was there, man.
Yeah, Larry's kind of he's silky with it. He's real silky. He just like fills in the spot, you know. And it's just like you don't miss or wonder where the bass is because he's carrying his part all the time. But you don't see it on his face because he plays like he's not playing. Like he's not right. It's just like he's just silky smooth.
just effortless.
The thing is, doing the walk.
He does what's needed.
Like
and
when you get confident, I like this show.
We were young kids too. We were young then, Larry. But you had a sense of maturity in the way you played, you know. And you probably got that from playing with Ellis. But Larry used to tell me about you back then. But when the Solar hits the record came out, he's like, "Hey, my boy Wardell." I said, "What?" Yeah. So I didn't know you then, you know.
Wardell was older than me too, everybody. I want y'all to know that. I was like 14, he was 20. I'm not sure.
No. We're the same age. Herb just got us by a little bit. So, man.
I'm 69 proud. I ain't lying. I'm 69, y'all.
I'm holding it.
If you see those pictures, you're just going to have to get over me because I know I'm still good. I'm sorry.
So Herb, I have a question for you from overseas. It says,
yes, sir.
It says, do you think you might hold the record for the number of Broadway theaters you have performed in?
Wow. Well, I did play in a lot of Broadway theaters through Patty. And I can't say I hold the record for that, but I played a lot of them through Patty. We played Carnegie Hall. Didn't you play with us with Dexter and Larry at Carnegie Hall?
Yeah, I did that.
I remember. I played that with Patty, too. It's been a crazy, wonderful ride. But as far as that last question, I don't know what the record is, but I did a lot of those kind of gigs with Patty. We did one that's really fun because Patty had the clout that she wanted her band in that pit, you know. And I'm being honest, guys. Most of the cats, like myself in the band, were not good readers. You know, to be a pit musician, you have to have really good eyes on that paper.
Uh-huh.
And so she wasn't feeling what those other cats were doing, so she had the clout, got us in there. And we made that pit money, and it worked out fine. We had to learn what was happening, and it worked. But it really wouldn't be a gig I probably truly qualify for, you know what I mean, in terms of the eyes.
Did any of you guys go to Settlement Music School?
I didn't.
No.
Oh, okay. Mm-mm. I did. All right.
I went to Philly Music School.
Philly, what? Oh, yeah. You learned in the streets. I was asking that because, you know, when I went to record professionally, you know, in most of the time, you know, we're thinking, okay, they're going to give us something to read. And so when I went in the studio to record, there was no charts. And I was ready for it. You know, I went to Norfolk State as well to learn how to read so that I could be ready. And I did all that. And when I got in the studio, it was like, no, we just want you to play what you feel. My whole career was based on how I felt. I played how I felt.
That's me too. With Patty, all those years with Patty, it's not a chart. It was, they would give you a cassette occasionally on a certain song they're doing, and you go ingest it, and you come back, and then Bud Ellison, the late great Bud Ellison, he would, our band leader, he would go ahead and chop it up or whatever he was going to do and organize it how he wanted to organize it. And Crockett, who was his assistant, that's my boy, he passed away too. They would have all that prepared, and you would learn what they wanted you to learn after you heard the song. Because really what they were for, I guess it was similar with you, is your interpretation, how you're going to make this song feel. What is your contribution as far as the guitar? How do you feel this guitar fits in here? And really was what I was doing with Dexter too, because it would be like a form of the song is laid out, and, you know, he would like, I would find parts. And he trusted me. One song we did, If Only You Knew, on Patti LaBelle. Were you on that session? That was Steve Green on that record. We did that one. We all got together in the rhythm section. Pete Rudd on drums, me on guitar, Steve Green on bass, Dexter on Fender Rhodes, and everything else. He played it, and I was like, I need to hear what the singer's doing. Patti wasn't young, so Herb, don't worry about that. I'll overdub you. So we get in there, and Dexter's amazing, right? So he's in the studio. He got the basic track cut. And for guitar, I just did a kind of a, what is called, it's like a peel, a ding, ding, with a B and E string. He said, yeah, do that. I'll tell you when to do it. He said, do it now. So then he gave me a track, play anything you want. I'm like, what? He said, just don't worry about it, play anything. So consequently, I played all this stuff, and I played some things. He kept, but he featured everything, and I started doing this George Benson lick, like 16th notes. And I knew that's not going to be appropriate for this ballad. But if you listen to the song, they're there. They're faint, but they're there. I'm like, oh, my God, I would never have played that if I'd heard what she was singing. You know what I mean? But the song is a classic, and, you know, it got me gigging. I kept working with Miss Pat. We did this before I joined Patty's band. And that's how I think I got the call from Patty, because the music director put out, Herb, we want you. You don't have to audition. I didn't have to audition. We just met at the tower, and bam, my next chapter of my life went on. But those years with Dexter, oh, man, Dexter Wanzel. Anybody listening to this, go listen to Dexter Wanzel's music, because it's still classic. I just put one up. You should interview him. I just put one up.
I did interview Dexter.
Good,
because
he's the man.
Yeah.
Look, he's the man.
Yeah,
he still is the man. I really enjoy talking to him. I had no idea how many songs this guy wrote. That's just a ridiculous amount of songs that he had. And I'm like, wow, how do you write that many songs, this guy? You know, and him and Stanley Clark, they were in the band together, too.
Yeah, I know. They went to high school together, too, didn't they?
Yeah,
with the rock girl.
Yeah. So and I didn't know that either. I learned so much. I was like, whoa. And I just saw Stanley and one of my other friends together. And then Stanley, the bass player from the time, from More Stay in the Time, Ricky Freeze, him and Stanley just put a picture together. I'm so jealous. I want a picture with Stanley Clark. Everybody else is hanging out with Stanley. Even Howard Hewitt, you know, doing duets and stuff with Stanley. And I'm like, dang, everybody. And so we did work with Stanley, sort of, but not together. We were just in the same building, recording in the same studio.
Yeah. I was sharing with Stanley and Dexter in L.A. back then. But I never got to really understand. But Derek Graves is our bass player. I speak about Derek. Derek is the guy who got me with Dexter. And Derek and I played in the band in 1970 when I was 16. And he remembered me and offered me the gig in 76. And but he's a great, great bass player. He's the cat that was the original guy playing the did. And he went to school for dentistry. That's why the bass seat opened up. Because he left to practice dentistry. And he's a wonderful dentist. And he does my teeth occasionally.
Okay. Hey, now, what's your... Can I make a confession? Yes, go ahead, Larry.
I heard you talking about those 16th notes or whatever you said on that song, and you have never done that. Do you know, do you remember, or did you know that on Old San Juan, I missed the note?
I didn't notice it. You probably noticed it.
Man,
I saw yesterday when he wanted me to listen to stuff. I'm re-listening. You did great enough on that.
Because I know where it's at. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
So every time you hear it,
about that. Yeah.
Do you crit every time the song plays and gets to that part?
When it gets to that part, I do. It's like, I do every time. I told my son, and he was like, where? I was like, never mind.
Yeah, nobody knows but you, buddy. Nobody knows but you. Hey, what was that
Whatever
song by this?
Awesome, so you interpreted the song well, you know.
What was that?
You would not have been up there doing that record. You had something special. And so, you know, we all make mistakes on records, too. This is what it is.
Yeah, mistakes are good. Sometimes you have great mistakes and stuff. So, it felt good. Rather, you may have done something different. Whatever you did different, it just felt good. So, it wasn't no reason to change it. You did it. It was that feeling. That you put on there, not the notes. It was the feeling. See, that thing right there, man, that's real.
As y'all talking about feeling and all that, I heard y'all talking about music and reading. And I found out about most musicians that just read opposed to feeling music, that they're more mechanical. And it is a difference.
It's more mechanical. Yeah,
it can be that way. Now, in y'all guys' case, see, it was there. It was a feel. It was a get.
Pocket,
so
yeah.
Y'all was playing what you feel. And that's what do make the difference. It really does. It really does.
Yeah.
I do know a lot of guys that read, and it's like, wow, you know, you can feel it. You can't feel it. they just play, and they're doing what they know to do. They're reading everything, and there's nothing original about it.
Yeah.
I have to make mention of my man, Joel Bryant. We co-wrote that song together.
Yeah,
he sat on. And, you know, I'll say this, the truth of the matter is those parts are my parts. But I had him on piano, and I was throwing things at him. I'm not just saying it's true, because they're all good from the guitar. But it's all good. We wrote that together. And the cat that played drums on that was Quentin Joseph. Now, Quentin Joseph... it has a history. You might be interested in this, Waddell, in that he is the guy. He's from Chicago. And when the drum chair, they need a new drummer after Philly, Earl Young and them. Earl Young was the original drummer, and then I don't know. So Kenny Gamble had a house drummer. He became the captain. He played on Love TKO. That's his feel on that. Great drummer. And he also was the producer of the Shy Lights. I think it's Have You Seen Her? That group, that's his thing. And so,
we going home now?
What's that?
Larry?
He's talking to his wife?
that was a mistake. Y'all told me to be quiet. I forgot to mute it.
Good grief.
He's having a conversation with Lori. Tell Lori,
I'm going to mute. I'm going to mute. Good. All right, now try to do it again, Herb. Try to do it
again. What?
Try to say what you were saying without Larry. Yeah. You know.
Interrupting us, right? No. Quentin's was a bad dude. I don't know we've all moved on, so I hope if he's still with us, that's awesome, you know. But I have a lot of respect for the way he played those drum parts. Because what happened is when we put this together at home, we were trying to get on MFSB's album. So we wanted to have the song have this Philly thing that it had, like the drum beats that Earl Young would kind of play. And I did the drums at my house in my studio against Joel playing the piano. And we put the song together with me playing acoustic guitar, blah, blah, blah. Dexter dug it, gave it a shot. We got in, and Jack Faith did all the string arrangements and horns. And it was a wonderful experience for me, because if you listen to Old San Juan, our percussionist was Miguel Fuentes. Okay, so he played on the records, and And he did all the stuff. And FX, we got the name on San Juan for Miguel. Because I didn't know what I was going to call it Song for Debbie G, which was a girlfriend of mine. And Dexter said, Herb, I so implore you not to do that. And they came up with old San Juan for that song. But there's a little part where I'm doing the live. We had featured Miguel. This was my idea. Go ahead and speak some Spanish stuff. And I don't know what the heck he was talking about, but it worked. And then I put the pause in there. But Kenny Gamble, when he dug the track that much, he took all of that out and featured the Jones Girls and wrote lyrics for it called At Peace With Woman. And so I've got to spread this out to my man Dexter Wanzel. And that chain song came through K. Williams Jr., who was Breakwater's keyboard. Yeah, he knew I could write songs, and he turned these New York producers on to Herb Smith. This guy named Giuliano Salerno came from the New York down to my house and was in my basement listening to my stuff. He took four or five of my songs up there. And we cut that one on change. I got to be in the session, and they used the Italian cat. The bass player is Italian. He's badass. I forget his name. And I remember, Wardell, you'll be interested in it. They auditioned different drummers to play this record, that Chains record. And this one white cat came in. I don't remember his name, but he had something of the feel we wanted. Because I played the drums on the demo, right? And so I got to talk to dude, and I told him, I want you to play quarter notes on the stop. Because it's got to drive, and that beat, and he's just going to drive the bass drum and hold that down. And he had the ability to do it. And Marion Malavasi is one of the co-producers with Fred Petros, who produced Chains. These are guys, how Chains came about, from what I understand, these guys were from Italy, and they produced 24-track reels. They brought the reels over to New York, right, and hired American lyricists and American singers. That's how Luther got exposed, singing those songs like Searching and the other songs he sang that he did. So what happened on the next album, I guess it was the second album, Luther got a deal, he moved on, so they got a new singer, this guy named Crab, who did the leads on my song. And they took that one song, went up there. Mary Malavasi, he was amazing. I cut him in as a songwriter because he came up with that intro was 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Because everything I had was quarter note 1, 2, 3, 4. But he broke it up. He did that on the bridge, too. He came up with those chords through the bridge and that intro. So he became a songwriter with me on that song. But he's a brilliant dude, man. They gave that progressive disco thing happen, and they do it with their records. And I'm so honored to have that song out. And it was great. It went to number 10 R&B, I believe it was. I don't think I got paid well. I ain't gonna lie to you. But that can happen, you know.
Yeah, and, in this business,
you know
for
what I'm
sure.
saying. So yeah, but it's part of my legacy. I still get royalties for these songs. The other ones I had, that one I had on Dexter that I wrote, New Beginnings, that featured me playing drums and singing and playing the guitar. Dexter did all this beautiful stuff on the song. Terry Wells sang background. Terry Wells was our singer, and that one was sampled by Puffy in 1998 and
New
became
Beginnings?
A big rap. Money, power, respect. So that royalty check was beautiful. I still get royalties for that stuff. And so it's been a great ride. And I'm so honored that you chose to have an interview for me, Wardell. I do appreciate that. I want to talk about you. You are a bad boy. This guy, he's the drummer on all of that stuff with Shalimar and all of that Solar stuff that I love so much. Man, Leon Silvers, man, what a great producer. God,
yeah.
I'm like... And in his and yours.
Yeah.
So because those records, man, you know, all of them. I remember seeing the documentary on Unsung, how Jody was saying Howard didn't respect her thing. But I don't understand why, because Shalimar was awesome. And her background vocals, man, I really, really love that group.
Yeah,
and
well. You know, the thing with Jody and Howard, you know, they're young, and so
right.
sometimes when you're young, you say things, you do things that you regret as you get older.
Right.
And so it was just one of those things. And, you know, and Jody has the right to share and have those feelings that she has. Right. And so when they do see each other, like they saw each other at Philly International, they're hugging and laughing and everything.
That's great.
Right. But just, you know, it's like, I could forgive you and I could like you, but I don't necessarily have to work with you again. And so some people, and that's good decisions for some people. That's just,
right,
you know,
right.
That, you know, as much as we, as a fan of that group together, would like to see them back together and do something again. You know, that's something that they have to work out and make it happen. I know Jeffrey don't want to, he's like, yeah, let's do it. You know, he's down. He wanted to see them all get back together. Yeah. So, but it's, and I think Howard wants it too, but Jody is just doing Jody and, you know, you can't blame her for it, you know, cause sometimes you have to take a stance. You have to say, hey, this is my stance. This is where I'm standing on this. And
yeah,
that's it. And it's right. So
really broke the heart with a lot of that back then. From what I gather, I told you I backed her one time on a cruise ship through Henry McMillan.
Yeah.
On the Soul Train cruise. What is it, Soul Train cruise?
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play another song for the people that just tuned in. You know, we're speaking with Herb Smith and Larry Moore here on Solar Records Radio. Herb Smith is our guest for today. And you know, him and Larry, they go way back and they did a lot together. And so we're really blessed to have them both on out of Philadelphia. And I just have to tell you guys, all the stuff that you talk about, Herb, from the Solar stuff, when I was recording, I was always bringing in my head the stuff that I, you know, like where I come from and all the things that I had. And that was Philly. I mean, and so I was playing stuff, you know, trying to sound like this drummer, sound like this. I remember when we did And the Beat Goes On, all I could think about was Ain't No Stopping Us Now. And what would the drummer do there? And what would the drummer do? And so I interviewed the drummer a couple of weeks ago because I was just like, Benson. I got, huh?
Steve Benson, that's my dude, man. We played together with First Choice back in the early 70s. So I just was recently with him. And, great guy.
Yeah, really great guy and stuff. So, but anyway, I'm gonna play another song. You know, just get some music going, take a little break and stuff. We only got 16 minutes left, so I'm gonna play another song. And you tell me which one, and tell me which one and why, which one between these next two, either Denzel Washington's New Beginnings or Patti LaBelle, I Can't Forget You.
You said Denzel Washington.
New Beginnings. Denzel Washington. Whoa. Gee, I'm sounding like Larry.
Denzel now. Doing shows now. Yeah, you are. You got to be quiet after this.
I would usually go in and edit, but I'm not going to edit that one. I'm going to leave that one. It is what it is. So you pick the song and tell us why.
Patti LaBelle, I Can't Forget. I wrote that with Terry Wells.
Okay. And tell us, was there a story when you guys went in the studio to record it?
Well, what happened was I did really good demos back then, like I do now. That's why I'm doing this track getting working so much. But I played drums and I had the metronome. I would put that up and play the drum parts down. And then I would lay the bass down, mixing the drums on one track and the bass. And long story short, then I would put the keyboards and I'd get my boy to come over and play the keys and I'd play guitar. And that was the song idea. When she sang it to me, she had everything put together, and I just built music around it. And I had a calypso-type quarter-note side stick going on. So what happened, we went in the studio, they just mimicked my demo. I think that was Steve Green on bass, I believe. Right, Larry? I think Steve played on that one. And Pete Rudd on drums. And how we put that together.
Okay.
Plus,
all right,
can I share this real quick? That song...
Yes.
Normally, when you got a song out, you go down and with Dexter, and you go to Mighty Three and down to Mighty Three and sign over your publishing rights. That's how you did it there. That song, they didn't, they neglected to do it. So that song sat in the can. And what happened was she got a new deal with MCA that made a big deal out of Patti LaBelle. Columbia got back in touch with Kenny Gamble and them, I understand, and wanted any of that Patti LaBelle stuff that was in the can. And they put together another album from Columbia and featured my song, but Kenny had to give us some publishing, me and Terry. So we went down and talked to him. And that's how that song came about.
Excellent.
But go ahead.
And my hat's off to you for going down talking to us and say, hey, man, we got to talk about this. See, and
well,
we, Herb and I talked about this the other day. Go ahead, Herb.
There was no choice. They hadn't inked up the song. But they wanted the song because it was good, and, you know, we didn't put it out. Dexter did this great arrangement on it with the horns and all of that. And
right.
So, yeah.
So, but to have that conversation with, you know, Kenny and them, when you normally don't have this conversation, was that difficult for you?
Oh, no, because I was really a guitar player there. I could write songs, and Dexter, with having the clout that he had as a producer and an artist, he jump-started. That's why I so appreciate this brother, man. He gave all these opportunities. So it wasn't like a lot of other cats that were down there trying to write for Kenny. We kind of had another end. And Dexter had this new thing he was doing at the time, because Dexter understood synthesis as well as writing for strings and horns and all of that. Dexter got the gig out there because my understanding is that, what's the guy's name? Bobby Martin. Bobby Martin used to be the guy that they went to add production stuff, because Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff were getting so much work. They needed another producer. But he left, found this group LTD, and put his energies into that, which gave us Jeffrey Osborne and all of that. So they needed another producer. This is my understanding. Now, you can tell me I'm wrong. And that's how Dexter got the call. He was playing with this group, Yellow Sunshine. They were on the road with T. Light.
Oh, I remember. Didn't they have a song called Yellow Sunshine?
I don't remember the song.
Oh, yes. Dude, they were bad.
And then you got the call from Kenny. When you come back to Philly, we want to talk to you. And because Dexter had classical training, he understood all of that. Plus, he knew synthesis. He was the guy that they used to hire to do the synth stuff when synthesizers were first coming in Sigma. Because he told me that. I never knew this stuff. But that's generally what happened. And, you know, he had this forward thinking about jazz. He insisted on having his own albums. Plus, I'll produce for you. And that's how my things got to happen. Because he had the ears, he would listen to my stuff, and boom, I got lucky. It was a lucky configuration, a lot of things that just came together in the right time, right place.
All right. We'll be right back with Herb Smith and Larry Moore on Solar Records Radio.
Can't forget you. No, I can't forget you. I tried to pass to you. tell me how much you just, how much you just love, love, love me. I just can't, I can't think about. I can't imagine you not asking me to go home with you, sugar. Why don't you just take me somewhere? I don't care where. Anyway.
Beautiful song, my brother. Beautiful song there. Wow. You know that, that she had so many amazing dynamics with her voice. I mean, was there ever like moments on stage when you were performing with her that you just had to like drop your jaw, like, oh my God, did she just do that?
Yeah. Oh my God, Patty was. Look, I treasure those years, man. Yeah, we had. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
It's just, yeah. I mean, it's so funny. I remember when we rehearsed, I first joined her, we would put it together, and then she came in and sang for the first time. It's like the whole thing went to a whole other level. And, I mean, it's everything, man, I can't say enough about her talent. She,
absolutely.
Lady, Patty is the most sweetest, genuine lady. I saw her, last time I saw her, went over her house. Her niece called me. She heard I was doing these little gigs I do, my restaurant things I'm doing now. And she said, I want to come to one of your gigs. I said, cool. So I was on my way back. Come pick me up over my aunt. You know, I knew what that was. So I went over to Patty. She said, Patty wants to see you. I said, great. You know, I hadn't seen her in years, man. And this is around the time she had those pies out, you know. She gave me a pie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she told me, Herb, you know, that was... Yeah, man. I said, honey, I know. The reason we got fired, you know. It's all good. I said, look, you fell in love. It's what it is. Because really, for me, after having done that 20 years, the road thing was old anyway. So I was going to have to let you do it because I had my daughter who was 3 then, and this one I wanted to be home and go to the campus and all that. But
yeah.
I love her so much. I still have nothing but great thoughts with Miss Bat.
That's great, man.
But yeah, she definitely touched you when she sang a certain note. I remember one time she took the shoe off and caught the percussionist. I'm glad it wasn't me. Yeah.
Oh my God.
You got a duck, man. You got a duck. That shoe might come your way, man.
Oh man, come on. That's well. Okay, listen. I have one more question. Because we are got 4 minutes left here. How differently, this is from overseas, how differently are the styles of Norman Harris and Bobby Ely, and what was it about their styles that caused such a stir in the music?
I didn't know it caused a stir. But the guitar roles back then were, you know, Bobby was a chink guy. The chink thing, as far as I can see, I could be wrong about this, in the 60s, like Burt Bacharach's guitar player played a lot of chinks. So somebody had to play the up. And they usually were Stratocaster-type guitars. Now, Norman played a fat box guitar. Norman's style was, you know, I see him in my way being very influenced by what Wes Montgomery was doing. You know, because Wes was known for doing those octaves. So Norman would incorporate that. But Norman had a really good sense for arranging. He was a wonderful arranger. He wrote and produced those songs that, for First Choice. He and Alan Felder did those songs. That's my first professional gigs. Armed and Extremely Dangerous, Newsy Neighbors, all that stuff. He also did the stuff on A Double Exposure. And so Norman was a wonderful arranger, producer, as well as a guitar player. But what they did was they complimented each other because one would stay in a sweet thing or a disc thing. The other guitar would do another thing, and they would maybe pan them left and right or something. And that's what two guitar players should do. You find ways to complement each other. I play in situations where you don't have security with guitar players and they want to compete with you. That's no good. So that's what I would tell them. I don't know what that other part of the question was, though.
Okay. I just want to know to you, was there any other guitar players It's because I guess guitar is your main instrument, right?
Yeah, that's my baby. I play keys now, limitedly.
Yeah.
And I'm a bass player. I'm a musician, you know.
Right. Yeah. So who else in the industry was it that inspired you, like, as you were coming up? Who was it that you're like, whoa, this guy, I got to do that?
It's Hallmark Cats. Believe it or not, it's George Harrison of the Beatles. He was a stepstone because, as I said, when I was 10, I was and then I was listening even then to I listened to a lot of stuff because I'm a singer, so I would listen to Nat King Cole, and then Johnny Smith. I heard Moonlight in Vermont when I was 10. His version of that, he was an influence. But then it's just the guitar. People didn't know guitar was a facilitator of my music. It wasn't like I wanted to emulate guitar players. It was different cats. Wes came along, cool. You know, I was adapting his thing. I wasn't like bound by guitar players. I kind of did my own thing, and my own thing kind of resonated with people. That's what built a career for me.
Amen.
Sometimes you don't need to and know a lot about somebody else that's playing the same acts as you. You just have to find you in whatever you're doing. And my lack of knowledge of a million guitar players, Hendrix, I loved him, but I loved him later. Terry Kaff was a big, that's Chicago's guitar player. And, T-Life was an influence. That he was playing with Frankie Beverly when that Frankie was a house band in Philly. They were Frankie and Beverly and Ross. So my boy Billy Little was playing with them, and T-Life, the guitar player. He ended up producing Champagne King.
It's all
in the
Now, what about Larry Moore? What do you think about him?
Well, Larry is awesome. I'm glad he stopped drinking those Mountain Dew because he was. That's what he used to say. So you need to have
he's
a Mountain Dew.
He's gonna turn it. He's gonna turn into a Mountain Dew.
Because he every time you saw Larry,
I just went and got a Mountain Dew out of the refrigerator.
You still have one? Man, you better. I can't drink that stuff.
I don't drink. No, I was addicted before. I really was addicted. I went through withdrawal, man, coming up, going off, not drinking, you don't do it because of the caffeine. I really did. No, I really did.
I believe it.
I mean, now I drink them periodically, and I just happen to just take one out of the refrigerator.
I never did that.
That's a whole nother story.
Yeah, I did. All the other cats that were getting addicted to stuff back then, I'm glad yours was just Mountain Dew because a lot of cats went down.
Absolutely.
You know.
Better
yeah,
to be addicted to
but Mountain Dews.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, in closing, I'm going to let both of y'all say something in closing to the listeners. Larry, you want to go first?
What's that again? I'm sorry.
In closing, is there anything you would like? Is there anything you would like to say to the listeners?
Well, I mean, I enjoy the show. I would like to say that to the listeners. I enjoy, you know, and I like what you're doing because it means a lot, and even you know, to the people that you're doing it with, like the guys that you interview, and the guys that you are interviewing are like great musicians, all of them. It's a good thing, not letting them be forgotten. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So they the roots of a lot of stuff, you know?
Yep, that's right. That's right. And that's why I'm chasing those Philly guys, man, because they are definitely the root of my drive when it came down to grooves and rhythms. It's embedded in me. It's a part of my DNA, and I can't get away from it. And I don't want to get away from it. I'm run to it now. I'm like, oh, I get excited. When I was talking, you know, to Herb tell me the stuff he did. I mean, I get hairs go up on my arm because I was like, oh my God, this is great. And the last couple of guys that I interviewed from Philly, I mean, it just really blessed my heart. And so I'm so grateful that you guys came on. Herb, in closing, anything you got? Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I want to acknowledge my man Gerald Twig Smith. He was an influence for me on guitar. He's still playing awesome guitar. Occasionally, he puts things online with him playing. He's a treasure. He's a Philly treasure. I don't know if you know him. He played with the song Sloan Bay back in the day, and I'm trying to tell you that Sloan Pass, God rest his soul. They had a groove. They had this cat named Stump on drums and Groove on bass. They were a wonderful rhythm section. I don't even know if Larry caught them. This is back in the 70s local. And so Twiggy, man, what a great guitar player. If you get a chance, guys, check out Gerald Twig Smith. And he puts his videos up, and he still sounds wonderful on guitar. So there's a lot of people in my DNA as a guitar player. Marlon Merritt, who is Jimmy Merritt's son, if you guys are jazz aficionados. Jimmy Merritt played bass with Miles and those cats back then. I think actually the trumpet player, Lee Morgan, played with them. But in any event, these were guys in my trail who I caught a glimpse of and made me push along. We all get it from somewhere, you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. That's real talk right there. And also, I know your daughter is about to become a doctor. Congratulations to you and your wife.
No, that's a lawyer. A lawyer.
Yeah. No,
okay.
Denzel Washington.
Just in case you need one.
Yeah. Okay.
He might need a lawyer after this. He keep messing up names and stuff. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Why are you messing up my name so much?
I know, and so tell me about your daughter. As far as I got a message here, but she was musical. What's going on? Is she involved in music as well?
Well, no, Brianna is not really. She could sing a little bit. I produced an album, a CD on her back when she was younger, but she took piano lessons. Not really her bag, but she's going to be a wonderful lawyer, and I'm so proud of the girl. She'll be 25. October 7th. I better have that right.
You better.
Hold it. October the 20th. Right. Did you say
27th? Right.
Did you say the 27th?
Yeah. Huh?
Did you say the 27th?
No, it's the 7th.
Oh, the 7th. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Coming up on
cool beans.
Five.
All right.
He better have that right. He might need
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, baby girl. We all might need an attorney.
Yeah, you know. That wasn't the 7th. It wasn't the 8th. She was born in 1990. I'll figure it out.
Oh, Lord. He's in trouble,
like, look,
dude. And it's on tape here.
I can fall back on being a senior citizen. I'm almost 70 in January.
He got an excuse.
Okay, leave me alone.
All right.
Boy.
All right. Well. Hey, man, we love you guys, and thank you so much for your contribution to the music industry. We do appreciate you here at Soul Life Records Radio for coming on and sharing your legacy with all of us and with the world and stuff. And so keep on doing what you're doing, and thanks again. Please come back whenever you're about to. Larry, you need to drop something with your son. Y'all need to get together. You need to put something out. And so whenever, you know, Herb, you're getting ready to drop another song or whatever, make sure you come to me. Oh, by the way, I want you guys to know that Larry, Herb, and I are going to record something together. So now everybody knows. Now we got to really do it and stop playing. We're going to do this.
Now, if you put it out there, we got to put it down right. So
That's right. So I'm going to send you guys a pocket. I'm going to send you and y'all going to Yeah,
Larry,
let Larry be Mr. Smooth.
Now, Larry, you were saying I should go first, but you're the bass player. You should go first after he sends it. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Larry.
Nah, but see, you know, you're the chord man. So, you know, you want me to go
put some points up to it.
Yeah.
And me and Wardell are going to talk bad about you for not going second, but it's okay.
Exactly. We will. We're going to do that anyway.
Well, you know, I'm used to it. If
right.
He did not think something was wrong.
Lori some love. Larry, give Lori some love. Tell her I'm so proud of what you guys have achieved, 44 years together. And I didn't mention, I kind of had something to do with it, I guess, a little bit. Not really, but, you know, it's a long story short.
No, you did. You made me man up.
Larry explained to me she got fired because of me playing around with the ketchup thing or whatever. So I'm sorry about that, Lori. But we were young and stupid.
He feels guilty now.
Yeah, I feel bad about that. But no, you know what? It worked out for her anyway.
She's doing amazing things. And God
there you go.
God's in control, not us. So She's an amazing, beautiful. She's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lady with beautiful kids and a smooth husband on the base. My brother Larry Moore.
Wow.
All right,
Larry Smooth Moore.
Larry Smooth Moore. All right, guys. Well, Herb, I'm closing out. Oh, if anybody wanted to, Herb, do you have a website?
What do you call it? Lisa put it together. Herb Guitar. I got to learn that thing. I have one, but I don't use it. Tell them to look at my Facebook pages.
Okay.
This is the one I'm holding my daughter. That's where I put a lot of videos up of me doing the track gig I do. I've been at this one restaurant in Ben Salem for 16 years, and it's blossomed out to several different places we play. I got a new one we're doing. It's just enough for me to make this. I built the track. I make them sound realistic, and then go and sing and perform to them. And that's what I've been using my gear for as far as the songwriting. I still write songs. I got a couple of things I'm going to drop. But that whole side of it, Wardell, I like to talk to you more about that because it just sits up there on CD Baby. It's not like I don't know what I'm going to do with them. They sit up there, and I don't like that too much about the day, the whole streaming.
Okay, we're going to make it happen. We're going to talk about it, man. We're going to bless each other.
All right.
Well, I'm playing one of your songs.
New beginnings.
Dexter Wandell.
And Herb Smith.
Herb Smith. All right. This is Herb Smith from Dexter Wandell. All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right.
And he will stay this time till the end. I'm so glad we tried it again. It's a new beginning. All our problems behind. Now we see how to make this thing right. It's a new beginning. A new beginning.
me on. And when you talk, heaven knows I can tell we're gonna get closer. Come on, baby, just let it flow. Cause life is right. I feel you, baby, feel you. Let me hold you tight. It's you and I that's willing. My life. I never met anyone like you, baby, like you, lady. You're the kind of girl that I need in my life. You're the kind of girl that makes it alright. You're the kind of girl that makes it change what's the fight. This way, down on my knees, praying every day, and I'm so glad you saved you for me. I'm feeling your electricity. Oh, 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 oh.
It's right.
I feel you, baby, feel you.
Let me hold you tight.
It's you and I that's willing.
Want you guys to know that was my song, right? And with Richard Randolph, my buddy passed away, and I just miss you, Richard, and love you, and I'm so sorry that you're gone. But you know, that's that groove right there at the end. It's just like, oh man, that was fun. We and miss it, miss it, miss it, miss it. And Brian Morgan played an amazing electric bass on that. And so much love. I think it was electric. I don't know. It could have been a regular bass. He's so talented. No, it was electric, yeah. And so, but anyway, and so just a great time. Featuring Kevin Spencer on lead vocals there, and Richard Randolph, he sang on the bridge. And so You're the Kind of Girl, Wardell Potts Jr. on Solar Records Radio. This is Indie Blues and All That Jazz Day on Solar Records Radio, so I get to play us, you know, our indie music, including mine, right? Yeah, there you go. Anyway, thanks again, Herb Smith, Larry Moore, for coming on and blessing us. We do appreciate that. That was a nice conversation from the Philly homeboys. These are people I grew up with. I didn't really grow up with Herb. I grew up with Larry. And then right after I left, then Herb and Larry became really tight and started working with Dexter Wanzel, and not Denzel Washington. I don't know what's wrong with me. Oh, God, Wardell. But anyway, God bless you guys, and thanks for hanging out. Tomorrow's Throwback Thursday. And I would like to see your throwback pictures. Stop faking the phone. I know. It's like we only have so many, right? It's like, dude, I've showed you everything. You've seen it all. I have nothing else to show. You know, so I keep on calling my mom and my sisters and my ex. I'm like, I need some throwback pictures. Give me some more. You know, because I've, like, posted the same ones 900 times. So, but anyway, if you got some, post them. I don't care. Anyway, guys, thanks so much for everything. And we got about another 31 minutes left in the show. And so we're just going to, like, continue to play this music for you. This song right here that I'm going to play you next is just an amazing song. I love it, love it, love it. It's by Coffee Anderson. And, like, I really want to play with Coffee Anderson. This is a beautiful, amazing song about an amazing woman. And so when you meet someone in your life that just takes you there, it is just so good to be able to, as a songwriter, write about her, put it on a record and put it out. And he did. And I mean, I just, like, man, dude, that is just so good. And so basically what he's saying is that he is better today than he was yesterday because of her coming into his life and really blessing him. And so good. I mean, you know, God is good, you know, and it makes you want to be a better person. It makes you want to be, you know, really good to who you're with, right? When that person is so good, it's just like, oh man, God, you blessed me with an amazing person. And so now, you know, I have to be amazing as well, you know, to hold on to him or her, you know. And so it's, you know, God, so good. So anyway, I want to play this song for you guys because you probably have an amazing person in your life, or you're waiting for that amazing person to show up.
Your face, to hear your voice, and all to touch you is a dream come true. So I'm standing here with my hand held out, knowing that your love will never fade. I stand amazed without a doubt. I want to hear your voice in the morning when I rise. Think I know I'm just a normal man, only made of sand, except when you're by my side. Will you love me, teach me, don't leave me, I pray. When I'm thinking of the times, your hands in mine, together we'll stay. You made me better today than I was before. Now my heart can rest, and I will search no more. You made me better today. today. So I'm standing here with my hand held out, knowing that your love will never leave. My heart's on my sleeve, and now I believe. I wanna hear your voice in the morning when I rise. I think I know I'm just a normal man, only made of sand. Except when you're by my side, will you? Together we'll sing. You made me better today than I was before, and now my heart can rest, and I will search no more. You made me better today.
You make my love come down.
Well, I was just writing about this song because to me it's just absolutely amazing. Leon Silvers the Fourth singing with Nicole, and they're just doing their thing, and that's on Nicole's album. And I just think, what an amazing song. And so Nicole Hall, Leon Silvers the Fourth doing a duet, "We Can Make It If We Try." Man, they threw it down. They did what they had to do. Hey, guys, and we did too. We're so grateful that you hung out with us, and we had a great day. Thank you for blessing us here at Solar Records Radio. Thanks to everybody that made it happen. Thanks to our special guests. And we are just moving on. We look forward to tomorrow, where we're going to celebrate the Throwback Thursday. Mm-hmm. Old school's in the house. Mm-hmm. I know I can't sing. Sorry. Anyway, but you guys, look, tune in. And next week, we got a beautiful Miss Sugar. Sugar's going to be on next week. I call it Sugar, but it goes on and on and on. Y'all got to tune in. Another amazing independent artist from the UK going to be on next week. So come hang out with us here on Solar Records Radio, and her producer. And they're a great writing team, production team, and all that good stuff. So come tune in next Wednesday for that. Oh, these indie artists are just absolutely amazing, aren't they? Come on. All right, guys. Well, thank you again, Indie Jazz, Indie Blues, and all that jazz here on Solar Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr. I'm up and out of here. Thanks, Greg. Thanks to everybody that helps to make this thing happen. Have a good night, and catch you next time.
Let's stay together.